Hey everyone, this is Nick. Thanks for joining us for the Circuit Riders Podcast. To know us, we are a YWAM missions community here in Huntington Beach, California, with a passion to save the lost, revive the saved, and train them all. This is a podcast from our summer leadership training school. Hope you enjoy.
Okay, you guys ready to roll? Yas? She said, Yas! We should all just say that one time just before. Are you guys ready to roll? Yeah. Oh, that was fun. It's going to be a good day, guys. I feel excited. What? Yeah, it's a bad day for Satan. Good day for Jesus, bad day for Satan. Isn't it good that, like, God's always in a good mood? Like, you know, like, God's full of joy, smiles a lot. I don't know how you imagine God, but I don't imagine him like this super serious, stoic, like, always just, like, straight-faced kind of guy. I don't know. Not with my experiences with Jesus, at least. Max, do you think God's always like that, or... You think he smiles once in a while? All the time, yeah. I imagine Jesus was like the funniest guy. Anyway, that's not evangelism training. The only reason that's important is because when you're doing evangelism, it's important that you smile and you don't take yourself so seriously. It's the number one tip. All right, you guys ready to jump into this? We're gonna go through this really quick, and this is gonna be like you're gonna feel like you're at the gym because we're gonna stand up and sit down so many times. And instead of just me preaching today, you guys are all gonna preach, which is way better for me because it's so hot. Anytime you try to say something coherent for like 30 minutes to an hour, you start breaking a sweat up here. So, but now you guys will all get to experience that as well. It'll be fun. We'll all do it together. How many of you guys play sports in here? Is there any sports people in here? Wow, they believe in sports in England? I mean, okay. Or in Europe? Wait, raise your hand again. Oh, what do you guys play? You play? My wife raised her hand. What? Football? Who plays football? Who's ice hockey? No way. That's so cool. What else? Is there basketball in Europe? That's not a thing. Not so much. What do you play? Basketball? All right, there is basketball, at least in Bulgaria. Let's go. What is that? Netball. Netball? Must be a European thing. I haven't heard of it. Sounds awesome, though. All right, I ran out of time, so evangelism training over. Got to go. All right, we're done. No, I'm just kidding. They actually said evangelism training is like 2:30 to 3, but it's really impossible to do it in 30 minutes, and now it's almost 3. And I'm like, gosh, we have so much to get to, and so many people need saving, so I want to go so short, but also be helpful at the same time. All right, we're going to jump into the first point. I want you to take notes. Here in sports, we train, right? So many times in the church, we just go out and try things that we didn't train for. So in evangelism, it's very important that we train and we practice with each other. We train like we do for sports, right? If you train for a sport or you play sports, you put so much time into becoming a better player. Many times in the Christian life, so many things, so many of the Christian disciplines like evangelism, prayer, it's just the same. The more you exercise it and the more you do it, the more confident you become in it and the less fear you have, and the more fruit you see, honestly. So it's so important to practice evangelism. We're going to jump in. The first point is relationship. So just, I'm going to go through each of these in hopefully like 30 seconds to a minute, and then you're going to pop up and preach them to each other in 30 seconds to a minute. Does that sound good? So you're going to want to write really quick with your pen, and then you're going to get up and preach it to the person next to you. So I have like 5 points that I'm going through that are rehearsing what the simple gospel is from the Bible, but also simplifying it, and each one of these has Bible verses. And this is most times how I'll talk to people about Jesus. I include all of these points in my conversation with the person. So the first point is, write down number one, relationship. So the book of Genesis, it's clear that we were created for a connection to God. We were created for relationship. In Genesis 2:7, it says, "Then the Lord God formed the man of the dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature. Psalms 139, verses 13 and 14, it says, "For you formed my inward parts," as the psalmist speaking of God, "you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." So we can see from the beginning, God created humanity for a relationship. Every person that God created, every part of their design was made to be connected to him. And the uniqueness of each of our design being just a little bit different is because God, in his love, thought it would be wise for him to create each of us a little bit different. So we each have our own expression of how we love Jesus. And God loves that about us. And so your eyes were made primarily in life to see Jesus Christ. Your ears were made primarily to hear the voice of God. Your heart was made, the number one reason you have a heart that's beating right now is to host the presence of the Holy Spirit inside of your heart. Your feet were made to walk places in obedience to Jesus Christ. And your hands were made to do things for God. Every part of the human design was made to be connected to God through the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. And every part of your design, God made it. He knew what it would be before he formed you, and he's the one who put it together. So when you go up to people on the streets, you want to start by telling people, hey, you were actually made to know God. And your purpose in life is actually to know God. And Jesus made every part of your design. The Bible teaches us that when God created humanity, he put his breath inside of the human heart and the human life. And the very Spirit of God lives inside of us. And so God loves you and wants to be connected to you. So that's your first point. Stand up. Hopefully you wrote some things down. You're going to be preaching. Find a partner really quick. All right, I'm going to give you 30 seconds. I'm going to give you 30 seconds to tell your partner they were made in the image of God and that God loves them and that that God has designed them to be in a friendship connection with him. All right, are you ready? One person out of the two of you, raise your hand. If you guys were with us in the Carry the Love track, we did tons of this. If you have your partner, one of you raise your hand. One of you raise your hand. One of you raise your hand. Some of you guys already started. I like that. But one of you raise your hand. All right. If you didn't raise your hand, you're going to go first. All right. Gotcha. Ha, ha, ha. All right. 3, 2, 1, go. Time's up. You can sit down really quick. All right. Second thing I want you to write down is write down sin. All right. Before you get to the good news, you have to talk about sin. So the Bible teaches in Romans 3:23, everyone has sinned and we have all fallen short of God's glorious standard. It says in Romans 3:10, as the scriptures say, no one is righteous, not even one. It says in Romans 5:12, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world and Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone for everyone sinned. That's not enough to convince you. We can go Old Testament. Isaiah 59:2 says, it is your sins that have cut you off from God. Because of your sins, he has turned away and will not listen to you anymore. All right, you want one more verse? Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So you want to explain to people, now that you've told them how awesome they are and that God made them and that God loves them, you want to explain to them that because of their sin, it is impossible for them to be connected to God. And that's not something that just they have to deal with, but that all of humanity actually has fallen into sin and fallen short of God's glory. In America, we have so much counseling and so much time spent to counsel people's issues that I believe people could just repent of and be free. You know, you can't counsel somebody out of anger. Anger is a sin. They have to repent and make a decision to walk away from anger and read a lot of scriptures probably to have their mind renewed. So you can't counsel someone out of sin. They only can make a decision to turn away from sin and to pursue righteousness. Sin is deeper than just an action. It is the tendency of the human heart to want to do life independent of Jesus Christ. So sin separates us from Jesus Christ, but it also many times is the decision to live a life of rebellion by wanting to live outside God's rule and God's law in our lives. Sin is connected to self-centeredness and often has to do with self-focus or inward focus or our lives just being about us. So you want to convince people that they have sin in their lives. And a lot of people will just say, oh, I'm just a good person, or like, I don't know if I really need all that or believe all that. But the Bible clearly teaches, and I believe even pretty much every person already knows they're a sinner and they've done things that are wrong and that are bad. And the brokenness and evil of the world is a sure sign that humanity is far from perfect. So you can share some of those things with people if they're telling you lies that they think they're perfect or they have it all together. And use some of these verses, because sometimes these verses will really bring conviction. And as they hear the Bible verses, they'll start to realize that they actually have sin in their lives and they need to be set free. All right, stand up again. I'm going to give you 30 seconds to convince your partner that they are a sinner. All right? And you can use the Bible verses. You can use just one Bible verse. And what if you raise your hand again? One of you raise your hand. All right, if you raise your hand, I'm going to let you go first this time. All right, 3, 2, 1, go. Time's up. Take your seats. Point number 4. No, point number 3. Somebody say good news. Say it with a smile on your face. Say good news. All right, we don't want to just convince people that they're sinners and then walk away. That would be horrible. don't do that. All right, my verse for this is just Romans 5:8. But God shows his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Now, a key ingredient for the gospel is that you want to tell people that God decided to become a human through Jesus Christ, and that Jesus came and all evil in human history, Jesus in that moment was punished for it once and for all so that we could go free, so that God could be both loving and just at the same time. And God took responsibility for sin as God, and he took the punishment for sin as a human. So Jesus dealt with sin once and for all. And so you want to tell people that simple truth, that God was punished for their sin so that they could be free with no shame, no condemnation, and that the blood of Jesus will cleanse them from all unrighteousness in a moment. And that Jesus didn't just die for them, but 3 days later he was raised from the dead, and that he is right now alive, and that he is praying for them. Right now in this moment, think about that. Jesus is alive and he wants to be connected to every person in this room, and he is praying for the lost people in Harpenden right now. Jesus is making intercession for us today. And so you want to tell people that Jesus died for their sin, he was punished, and 3 days later he was raised from the dead, and that right now he is alive and he wants to be their friend. Does that make sense? All right, stand up. Back to your partner. I told you we were doing squats today. All right. You can choose who wants to go first this time. I'll let you choose. Starting in 3, 2, 1, somebody go. All right, take your seats. Take your seats. Point number 4. Point number 4. You guys having fun? It's so fun to preach the gospel, isn't it? I love it. I love it. And there's so much power in the gospel. The gospel's never preached without power being released. Every time the gospel's preached, there's power behind the message. It's the only message, actually, that every time it's preached, there's power released. It's amazing. All right, you guys ready for point number 4? Point number 4 is, how can I be saved? You want somebody to ask that. But if they don't ask that, you're still going to explain it to them. A lot of times after I share the gospel, I'll immediately ask people, do you want to receive that in your life? And I'll explain that salvation is a gift they can receive right then in that moment. Here's the verse. It says in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. I'm pulling a lot of this from Romans. And that message is the very message about faith that we preach. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you might be saved. No, it doesn't say that. It says you will be saved. For it is by confessing... Oh, wait, I lost my place. It is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved, and it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. Salvation is very simple. There's another scripture that says, actually, when we preach, the word of God releases faith into the human heart. So faith is created when we preach the gospel. So I want you to consider every time you're sharing the gospel with someone on the street, that present in that moment is faith, and of course they can reject it, but many times I've found people actually want to receive the message of the gospel, and the Bible teaches very clearly it's by believing in their heart, confessing with their mouth that they are saved. It's that simple. And so many times we see people come to know Jesus, and I know it's like, you know, there's a lot of the church right now saying, well, yeah, a prayer doesn't save people. Now, that's true. Only Jesus saves people, and only really meeting him is where salvation is found. But the Bible does clearly say, confess with your mouth. And so if somebody is ready to receive, I would always say you want to lead them in a prayer to receive Jesus Christ into their hearts, to receive forgiveness of sin, and then you want to pray for them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But that's going to be the next point. So it's important when we're explaining this to people that we're explaining salvation is a gift. You can receive it right now. And many times if people say they're not ready, I will ask them if I can pray for them. So I'll ask them, do you want to receive salvation? Do you want to receive the gift of salvation in your heart? And if someone says they're not ready or whatever, sometimes I'll ask them a question. I think you should do this too. Like, what's standing in the way? And then they'll tell me why they don't want to receive it. Because most people I find when they hear it, they actually know that the message is true. Because most people, this message resonates in their heart, and something inside them knows that it's true. But then a lot of times, pride will come up, religion will come up, fears will come up, lack of willingness to surrender will come up. So you can just ask people, like, what's stopping you from receiving this message? And then speak to that a little bit. But then many times what I'll do is, the Bible teaches that the devil has blinded the minds of unbelievers. So I will pray for people, and I'll ask them if I can pray for them. And I'll just pray a really quick prayer. I'll put my hand on, I'll ask, can I put my hand on your shoulder? If they say yes, I'll put my hand on their shoulder. I'll just say, Jesus, I just command every spirit coming against this person to bow its knee. Holy Spirit, I pray you come, you'd open up the eyes of their hearts to see the glory of God, and that they would see that this message is true. There would be grace to receive it, and every spirit coming against them, I bind it right now in Jesus' name. And then as soon as I'm done praying, I'll look at them and I'll be like, do you want to receive this message again? I'll ask them a second time. If they say no that time, I'll tell them they can receive it anytime on their own, and that Jesus will continue to pursue them, and I'll go look for somebody who's more hungry. But it's important, sometimes you got to talk people through it a little bit, and then if they say yes, they want to receive it, you want to lead them in a prayer to receive Jesus Christ. So here's what I want you to practice in 30 seconds. You're going to practice explaining to the person how the Bible teaches that they can actually receive salvation, that salvation is a gift, that all they have to do to be saved is believe it in their heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confess with their mouth and actually make Jesus the leader of their life. And if they're willing to do that, the Bible says they will be saved. And in that salvation, I always explain to people, is included eternal life, so that when they die, they're entering into eternity, so the fear of death is destroyed. So they get eternal life, they get forgiveness of sin, so the blood of Jesus will wash away everything they've done wrong, and every evil thing they've ever done will be forgiven in that moment. And then the third thing is they'll be restored to their connection to Jesus Christ, their connection to God, like you mentioned in the beginning, and they'll be filled with love, peace, joy, righteousness, all of those things. So I'm going to give you 30 seconds to explain this. And really what you're doing, because I know I just kind of said a lot on that one, is you're just explaining to them, hey, it's by believing in your heart that you're saved. It's receiving a gift. And I can lead you in a prayer right now, making Jesus the Lord and leader of your life. And you can receive forgiveness, eternal life, and be restored to a real relationship with a real God who loves you. And that's all you're telling them. And then at the end, I'm going to give you another 30 seconds when we're done with that to lead them in the prayer. Does that sound good? All right, get your partner. Oh, time's up. I missed my timer. Okay, now I want you to lead each other in a prayer. It's going to be very simple. It's just going to go something like this. You're going to lead them in a prayer saying, Jesus, I give my life fully to you. And then they're going to repeat it. And then you're going to say, I believe that you died on the cross, that you shed your blood, that you were raised from the dead. And I put my trust in you for my eternal salvation. Thank you for forgiving my sin. Jesus, be the Lord and leader of my life. Something along those lines. Doesn't have to be perfect. You're just leading them in a prayer and you're having them repeat it after you. All right, you ready? You're going to get 30 seconds each. 3, 2, 1, somebody go. All right, time's up.
Time's up.
You can sit down.
Take your seats.
All right. All right, last one. Then we're going to combine all of these and do it all together, okay? So if you're not writing them down, you're going to want to bullet point it because at the end you're going to preach every point all together at one time, all right? Last point is number 5. This is the Holy Spirit and that their identity and relationship is restored. So you want to tell people, the Bible says in Romans 8:1, so now there's no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. It says in Romans 5:1, therefore, we have been made right in God's sight by faith. We have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. So you want to explain to them that they will be with Jesus for all of eternity, that their sin is forgiven, and that they are now back in a relationship with Jesus. And then you want to add a few things. You want to tell them if they have a Bible, they need to read it. And if they don't have one, you can have them download one right there and then, because we have so many Bible apps. Right now, this is so easy to do. Just download the Bible app with them. And then secondly, you want to think of a local church. If you don't know any, think of one or try to direct them to at least go into church. Mention that it's a good thing. Tell them about, I don't know YWAM. I don't even know if they do services here, if they can join. But just tell them to wander over here on base and find a Christian or something like that. You want to get them plugged in as much as possible so they can continue to grow as a Christian. If you're from here, you can get their number and meet them for coffee and disciple them. That's even better if they're from your region. So the last thing you're going to do is you're going to tell the person in 30 seconds that they have been made new in Christ Jesus, that their old life is dead and buried with Jesus Christ, and that they are now a new creation, that they have peace with God, they've been made righteous by God, they are forgiven, they have eternal life, and then you want to tell them, hey, and also you should read the Bible and download the Bible app and find an on-fire community. All right, stand up, find your partner. I prefer everyone stand up. You won't be doing this sitting in your chair this afternoon. All right. 3, 2, 1, somebody go. All right. You can stay standing. Now here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you a minute and 30 seconds. And you're going to preach the whole gospel to them, okay? Now, there's a method to the madness, okay? Many of us talk too much, and you just need to practice communicating the simple truths with people, because it's the gospel, not that many words, that's going to bring them to salvation, okay? It's the good news of Jesus Christ. So we're practicing. Would you guys like an example of how to do it in a minute and 30 seconds? Okay, you guys were all in agreement. Can we give it up for Max? Max is an incredible evangelist and a drummer, and is from the UK, and is a great friend of mine also. Could you do an example in a minute and 30 on how to preach all of those points? All right. You feel confident on all the points? Did you guys also write them all down? I can summarize them really quickly. It's relationship with God, then it's sin, which separates us from God. What was the third one? Anyone remember? The good news. And then you want to preach the cross, the death, and the resurrection. What comes next? How can I be saved? All right, what was the fifth one? Holy Spirit. Also, a bonus you can do is when you're done leading them to Christ and giving them the little details and telling them about their new creation, you can pray for them to be filled and baptized in the Holy Ghost. And you can just pray right then, and God will show up 100% of the time because he loves to do it. All right, you ready to give us an example? A minute and 30 seconds? All right. Max is going to give us an example. I'm going to set a timer.
There you go. All right. 3, 2, 1, take it away.
Okay. Hello, everyone. So I'm here to tell you that you are all made for a purpose. You are made by God to know him. The reason you feel empty is because you haven't got a relationship with him, because the void in your heart is God-sized, and you're trying to fill it with temporary things, but it leaves it empty, and it actually makes the whole worse. It leaves you poisoned. But in knowing God and having a real relationship with the living God who made you, that is where freedom is found. So I want you to know that you are sons and daughters. The world tries to identify you as many other things, but you are a son or a daughter. That is where your identity is found. The bad news is that inherently we're all sinners, because the very first people that God made chose to rebel against him because they were tempted by sin or by Satan. And rebellion against God is sin. It's separation from God, right? And how long have we got? Okay. So I forgot I had a timer. So they ate the fruit. And so inherently sin entered the world through Adam and Eve. And so inherently we're all sinners. It's in our blood. So we need a savior. We can't save ourselves because we ourselves are stuck in bondage. But guess what? God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to save you, right? He lived a perfect life, a sinless life, so that you could be saved in him. So he died. He was perfect, but he died a sinner's death so that we could receive his perfect righteousness before God and be made right as snow. White as snow. So you can receive him by faith, by saying yes, by opening your heart, confessing that he's Lord, believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. 5 seconds. Okay. Come to Christ today. Receive the Holy Spirit and he'll lead you. Narrow path. Broad path sucks. Choose the narrow path. Okay.
Amen. That was perfect. All right. You guys ready to get saved? I think I'd get saved after that. Especially because Max is so good looking. All right. 1:30. All right. You guys ready? Okay, here's what I want you to do. In the 1:30, I want you just to preach the gospel so you don't have to lead them through the prayer and tell them about the follow-up. I want you just to preach the gospel in 1:30. And then the last thing you're going to ask them at the end of your 1:30 is, do you want to give your life to Jesus? We're all going to say yes. All right, who's going first? Somebody raise your hand. If you want to volunteer yourself to go first, raise your hand. All right. 3, 2, 1, you go. Time's up. Take your seats. So many people are going to come to Christ today. When we went out and did evangelism in Dallas with this amount of people, there were 60 people that came to Christ. I don't know why. So epic. In Germany, we saw like 14 people come to Christ. Two of those were Muslims. There was a girl who used Google Translate and led a Ukrainian Muslim to Jesus, I think. Something like that. She led somebody to Jesus through Google Translate. I talked to this guy who was going through a divorce. He's like crying, never heard the gospel, gets radically saved, forgives his wife who's divorcing him, and just has a complete turnaround, says he wants to read the Bible, go to church. So today's going to be so good. There's so many more testimonies I could share, but it's just when a bunch of young people go out and preach the message of the gospel, things just start to happen, and it's pretty awesome. All right, I'm going to pull 2 people up here to share to everyone in 1:30 the gospel. Who should I choose? Dylan's pointing at someone. Oh, wow. I want 1 guy and 1 lady. All right, yeah, we got one. All right. We need a lady. I'm flexible. We could go anyway. Are you going to come up here? All right. I feel we might need 1 more person. I don't know. I just sense it's the Lord. So I don't know who we'll choose. You want to pick someone? Yeah, you know what? I was actually going to call you out too. And now my wife chose you, so this is the Lord's choice. And you're wearing a Maverick City shirt, so that's good news. We love Maverick City around here. All right, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to give each of you a scenario, and you're going to preach the gospel in a minute and 30 seconds. And who's going first? Hey, you want to go first? All right, what's your name? Wow, that's an incredible name. Love that. So you're going to preach to us in a minute and 30 seconds. And all of us here are you currently a university student?
No.
Okay. Yeah. Do you work at a job?
Yeah.
What's your job?
I'm at a cafe.
Okay, you're at a cafe. All right, here's your scenario. One day the cafe packs out, and you're at a point in your life where you don't care about losing your job. The cafe's packed with people, and you just notice there's a whole group of people to the left, a bunch of young people, and they're all cussing, swearing at each other, just talking about the craziest sins and all that stuff. And you just kind of start thinking, like, man, people really need Jesus. And then we're all in the cafe, so we're the cussing, swearing squad here. Don't actually do it right now, in Jesus' name. Yeah, we're all way too holy, sanctified in here to act that out. But that's who we are. You're going to get all of our attention. You're going to preach the gospel to us in a minute and 30 seconds. Does that sound good? Imagine your cafe. I'm going to have a timer. I'm going to try and hold it so you can see it. All right? I'll sit right there. All right. Take it away.
Yes, thank you. Hi, guys. This is weird. I'm interrupting you, but I just feel like I want to share with you, like, something. Like, yeah, I just want to say to you guys, you are very valuable and important, and I believe in a God who created you in his image. And I really just want to say that because this world doesn't tell that to us. It says we're not valuable, but I believe you are valuable and made in the image of God, first of all. But I feel like I have to share with you that there's this brokenness in this world, and we see it all around. We see how there's so much horrible things happening, and that's also within us. We like to believe we're good people, but actually, even in the Garden of Evil, the Bible tells us the sin came into the world. We broke against God, and we've all fallen short of God's glory, and we can't make it to him. We're not good people. But the Bible tells us that God loved us so much, and he loves you guys so much, that even though we were still in our sin, he gave his only son, Jesus Christ, who came as a human and died on a cross for our sins. He was perfect, but he was a sacrifice. He took our sins upon himself. And we have to be made right with God to be with him eternally. But because of Jesus, we can be made right with God. And now if we want to receive eternal life, if we want to be with Jesus, all we have to do is believe in our hearts that Jesus Christ died for my sins, resurrected on the third day, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's all I have to do. So if you want to receive this right now, do you want to receive this? Okay, for the evangelists, okay, yeah, yeah. So if you want to receive this, just repeat this prayer after me, okay. Jesus, I realize I am a sinner. I'm not a good person, but I believe you died for me. I believe you love me, and that I want to receive you, Lord. Jesus, I give my life to you. Come, fill my life with your presence. I'm yours. Purify me, Jesus. Change me. Thank you that you died for me. And I believe you didn't stay in a grave, but you rose from dead. And I have eternal life with you. Thank you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's go. That was fire. So good. Man, you are an evangelist. People are going to get saved. That was so good. You can sit down. No, you can sit down. That's great. That was so good. That was fire. All right, bro. You ready? All right. Here's your scenario. I'm going to give you a different scenario. I like the cafe noises. That was nice. It was like I felt like I could hear coffee and stuff. It really felt like a cafe in here. All right. This is going to be your scenario. So you're flying. Where are you from? All right, you're flying back to Germany on Lufthansa, hopefully in first class or, you know, maybe business class, probably not because we're all missionaries, so you're probably, you know, closer to the middle, suddenly you look out the window of the plane and an engine just has been set on fire. And so, sad for all of us, we're all the passengers, and the plane starts to go down, and the announcer lady just says, the plane's about to crash, we're going to crash. And you suddenly are like, man, many of these people probably don't know Jesus. So you run to the front and you ask the lady, hey, can I say something to everyone? And here's what you say in a minute 30.
All right, all right, all right. So we're about to die. I don't know if... What matters now? What is your car? Matters your health or your wealth? Nothing matters but your life right now. So I want to tell you what your life is about. You were created by a God in heaven who made you in His image. And all He wants to do is have relationship with you. But the first people He created, they decided that they not want to do that. They went in rebellion and rebelled against God. So since then, we've all been sinners. We've been our own gods and did our own things. And look around. What did it do to us? The world is in war, there's no peace, there's injustice, but God so loved the world that He sent His one and only Son to restore that relationship. He loves you so much, He wants you so much that he gave His Son to save you. So I ask you now, want you receive this? That's the only thing that matters. Jesus wants to restore that relationship with you. God loves you so much. He wants to restore that relationship. All you got to do is to receive that right now and say yes to Jesus. And when you say that, He will enter your heart. He will enter. Holy Spirit will come in you. And Jesus is the way to God again. You have the relationship with Him. And what that means is that you have eternal life. That when we die in 10 seconds, that you will be up there with Him celebrating.
Wow, that was so epic. All right, we're all dead now. I hope you all got saved when he was preaching. All right, are you ready? What was your name? I forgot to ask your name. Jonas. Jonas? Let's go. Where in Germany are you from? Okay, yeah, I think we talked about that the other day. Let's go, bro. You're on fire. That's awesome. All right, what's your name? Everyone say, hey, Eileen. All right, what do you guys think? What scenario should we give her? What would be it? Do you have a job? Are you in university? Film school in London? Okay, somewhere, is that in the UK? Okay, United Kingdom. Did you guys all know that? Because I didn't know that, but. Oh, childhood friends? All right, we'll give you, we'll switch it up a little bit. So your scenario is going to be you're surrounded by a bunch of your childhood friends, and even a few of your family members are there, and everyone's just kind of hanging out, sitting around, you know, having conversations, a normal day in the life, and then you're just going to be like, hey, everyone, hey, I just felt like I needed to share something with all of you here, and then you're going to tell them in a minute and 30 the gospel.
Okay, guys, this is going to be so crazy, but I want to tell you this because I care so much about you and that I want to give you an opportunity to live a different life. So let me tell you, you're so special. God has made you so special to have a relationship with Him. You are made in intimacy. Have you ever felt like, you know, you're trying to fill your life with something, but you can never find satisfaction? It's because your heart is literally crying out to God and you don't even realize it. Your heart is literally made to have a connection with God and you don't even know that. But let me tell you that God wants that too. God really wants that connection with you more than you want it with Him. And you need that. You need Him. You may think, why do I sound different? Why am I crazy? It's because I have met a crazy love. I have met a crazy kind of love. And guess what? You can meet that too. There is freedom available. You don't have to keep living a miserable life. Freedom is available. Joy is available, you know. You don't have to keep going through anxiety and depression. You don't have to keep living like that no matter what society says. It's not normal. Joy is normal. Peace is normal. Love is normal. So now let me tell you about this, something crazy. when God made us, he made the first humans, they are sin, they rebelled. It was terrible. And sin separated us from the love of God. We could never have that relationship with God anymore. We weren't able to have eternal life. We were not able. That's why depression came in. That's why anxiety came in. That's why self-harm and hatred came in. But guess what? God loved you so much that he decided to give up his only son so that you could be saved. And despite you accepting him or not, he said, despite whether you accept him or not, he still do it because he thinks you're worth it. He thinks that you are worth it and your life is valuable. He sees your worth. He sees your value. Don't look to society. Look to the one who made you. God made you in his image. You are more than enough. And so Jesus came. He died. He died for you. He died on the cross. But guess what? He bore your sins. He bore that hatred. He bore that depression so that you could be free. He said, you don't got to die anymore. Let me die for you because I love you so much. And so God, but guess what? It's not finished yet. Jesus resurrected from the dead 3 days later so that we could live together with him in eternity. So Jesus is alive and he's handing out the gift of salvation right now. He said, will you just accept it? Salvation is a gift. It's free and it's easy. All you got to do is believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that he resurrected. Do you want to accept Jesus?
Let's go. That was fire. Man, I feel like my ears singed up.
Okay, wait. Can we just pray for you really quick? Was it not so easy to see the call of God on her life? So let's just extend our hands and pray for our sister. God, we thank you for Eileen. You can pray with me. God, we thank you for the mark on her life, God, of preaching the gospel, God. We just say, release, God, release your glory on her life, God. More, more, more. And God, we say yes and amen, God, to every calling on her life, God. We just say, would you open doors in the name of Jesus? Would the glory of the Lord rest on you in the name of Jesus? And any way the enemy has tried to come against you in silencing your voice, we say no more in the name of Jesus. Girl, you are made to preach the gospel, to cast out demons, to see the sick healed in the name of Jesus. So God, would you release your daughter? Would you release her in the name of Jesus? Amen.
You can stay up here, babe. So good. So good. Literally, you're a preacher. That was wild.
I don't know what you feel called to, but you should just give yourself 100% to preaching the gospel. That is wild. That's such a clear call. All right, Gabrielle's going to take us into testimony. We're going to try and close here in the next 10, 15 minutes. And then Monique's going to come up here, lead us in a final prayer declaration. And then we're going to be commissioned out for like an hour and 15 today. Does that sound good? All right.
All right, everyone say testimony. Testimony. That's right. And everyone has a testimony. When we share the gospel, we also share our testimony, what God did in our life. So I'm going to go super quick. I want to pull two verses that talk about testimony, but there's so many other ones. Psalms 118:17 says, I will proclaim what the Lord has done. Amen. And then Revelation, you probably know this one, 19:10 says, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. That's right. A testimony is a spoken or written record of any of God's activities in our life. So think about anything God's done in your life is a testimony of what Jesus is, who he is, right? Testimonies are important. I'm going to read this. Because they are stories about God's nature. They reveal his heart, his person, his values, and I love this one, and his history with mankind. Isn't that amazing? Every time we tell a testimony, it brings him glory, and the room or the person becomes expectant for God to do it again, right? Okay, I'm going to share a few testimonies and literally just doing exactly what I read, that we would be expectant for God to do it again really briefly, and then we're going to get rolling. Okay, I wanted to share a quick testimony in Germany. In the Care the Love track today, we all prayed and we did something we call informed intercession. And we prayed and we said, God, what do you want to do in evangelism today? So when we were in Germany, we did the same thing. And a girl in my group saw a picture And we get tons of random things. Sometimes we're like, oh, we get a word, or we see a person, or we feel like God's going to break people free of fear, or any of these things. And the girl sees a picture, and it's herself laying her hand on someone's head, and it was a girl, and she had blonde hair, and I felt like I was praying over her to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So I'm like, that's amazing. Write it down. I had everyone write it down because we're going to watch God do it. And so I actually ended up being with that girl in my group and two other girls. And we're walking in Germany and we see these two girls sitting alone. They were eating. They were hanging out. So we go up to them. We start talking to them. Long story short, one's 16, one's 15, I think. The 15-year-old is blonde. And we start telling them the gospel. About 20 minutes, they're asking questions. We're telling them. They're translating. We're all talking to them. They give their life to Jesus, which is amazing. Two of them at the same time, like, do you want this? They're like, yes. We're like, amen, let's pray. Then one of the girls, we say, do you have any pain in your body? She says, well, I've been to all these doctors. No one can diagnose me. Like, no one knows what's going on. And I have basically this pain and this tightness in my throat and in my chest. And I immediately was like, well, we just have to pray. Let's just pray. And so we pray, and basically all of her pain disappears. She starts crying. It was literally God. Then my friend, who actually got that picture, which we weren't thinking about this time, puts her hand on her head and was like, we're going to pray again. We're going to pray that the Holy Spirit fills you. We're like, amen. And I don't always do that in public evangelism like that, but I felt like that was right. So we're praying, and she's literally getting filled with the Holy Spirit. She's 15 years old, has crippling anxiety. God sets her free. God literally sets her heart, her body free from anxiety. And then she's literally meeting the Lord and meeting the Holy Spirit, something that will change her life forever, right? And then we're walking away, and we're like, wait, didn't you get that same picture when we prayed earlier? And she's like, yes. And we're like, oh my goodness, that's crazy. So just be so expectant what God is going to do today. One other quick testimony, or maybe if you will see how much time we have. My friend grew up in a home where both her parents were addicted to different substances. And she didn't know the Lord at all. She didn't go to church like ever. And then by the time she was in high school, she was also addicted to substances. One girl in high school preached the gospel to her. And she, at the moment, thought it was weird and didn't really think anything of it, but later would say it striked her heart, like something about it was real. So she didn't give her life to Jesus there. Several years later, she ends up meeting the Lord, and one of the reasons why she did was that she remembered the girl who preached the gospel to her in high school. It was crazy. And so that was like one of the most encouraging stories for me of seed being planted. A second story that was so encouraging, I love preaching the gospel. I love preaching the gospel in my life, like anyone in front of me. If I'm at a cash register and it's a woman, I will always preach the gospel because there's like an awkward moment there, you know? Like sometimes you're like paying with your card and you're kind of just waiting. So like amazing opportunity to preach the gospel. But this one time I was hanging out with my friend and we were talking in the car. We're at a coffee shop and a woman walks out of the coffee shop and I'm like, oh, I kind of feel like I'm supposed to talk to her. Sometimes I feel something, sometimes I feel nothing. And so I'm like, I kind of feel like I'm supposed to talk to her. I say this in my head. I kind of feel like the Holy Spirit's telling me, but I'm just like, I don't know. She's kind of walking away. I'm kind of talking to my friend. Then I'm like, no, Gabrielle, no, you didn't sign up to be comfortable. You didn't sign up to be comfortable. God, I'm going to obey you right now. So I get out of the car and I literally am running up to her and she's fully in her car at this moment, and I'm like, hi, I'm so sorry. Like, I know you're in your car, I don't mean to be weird, but I'm like, I have to tell you something. God loves you, and He is so for you, and I don't know what you believe in, but He is real, and He is chasing after your life. She literally turns, she's like facing the opposite way, so she turns, her mouth's like this, and she looks at me, and I'm like, this could really go either way. I'm really not sure in my head. And she gets out of her car. I'm like, okay, either a punch is coming or a rebuke, or this is going to be really amazing. Thankfully, it was really amazing. And she says, I can't believe you just said that. God, someone just told me that 2 days ago. And I don't know if anyone's ever told you the gospel on the street, but no one has to me. So I feel like that's very rare. And she's like, I feel like God is trying to talk to me, and I recently just changed my whole life around. I'm like, yes, yes, it was God. And so then I preached the full gospel to her. She's already fully committed at this time, but I was just going sicko mode, like full gospel. I know she wants to give her life to Jesus. I'm like, do you want to give your life to Jesus? And she's like, yes. I'm like, okay, amazing, let's do it. So we're in the parking lot. I'm like, I'm praying with her, and I say, close your eyes. The Lord wants to speak to you. Just watch. He's going to speak to you after she gives her life to Jesus. And I just see tears, like falling out of her face, or her eyes. And I said, what did God tell you? And she said, he told me he loved me. And I was wrecked too, because I'm like, girl, think about this. I don't know what your past life looked like, but I'm sure it didn't look like following Jesus from what you told me. And you literally have been running away from God. You immediately have one moment of turning away from sin to God. And what does God tell you? He does not tell you he's mad at you. He does not tell you that he's disappointing you. He tells you he loves you. It's like amazing. It's like the greatest thing ever. So anyways, that was amazing. And that I love that testimony because that was so God. But then other times, we were at a storage unit. We were getting something, and I was talking to the lady who was, checking me out of whatever, the storage unit. And it was just me and her in there. And so I tell her the gospel, and I just say, hey, girl, like, what do you believe in? Tell the whole gospel, having a conversation. Sorry, I'm trying to do this fast. She ends up giving her life to Jesus, but it was a very casual moment. She didn't cry. She didn't have any tears, but she said, I know. I need God. I want God. So I pray for her. She gives her life to Jesus. I said, what do you feel like? She's like, I feel like a weight lifted off me. Obviously, I didn't tell her to say that. So she literally felt a physical weight lift off her. It was such a normal moment. We're literally just talking. I'm like, do you want to give your life to Jesus? She's like, yes. I'm like, amazing. Let's do it. And then she literally is experiencing God. So it's not about emotion always. And it's not always about how the person responds. But that's why salvation's a miracle. Because it is so simple. It breaks our brains. We're like, no, you need to be sobbing or you need to have like a crazy reaction. No, the gospel is so simple that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you will be saved. Amen? Amen. Okay, I'm basically done. But I wanted to share a few quick things. When we share our testimony, we're going to practice in a second. We always want to make it more about what the Lord has done than about what the enemy's done. So my testimony, when I share it really quickly, I just say, I was so bound in anxiety, depression, and suicide. I was pulled out of school. I was on 6 medications, but God met me when I wasn't even chasing after him. He spoke to my heart, and guess what he said? He said, by my stripes, you are healed. And it's a Bible verse, and he spoke to my heart, and he set me free in one moment. My body rejected all my medications, and I was set free. And God gave me his peace, real peace, and he gave me his love, real love, and he gave me his righteousness, and he filled me with the Holy Spirit, and he has completely changed my life. You need God. He will change everything in your life because he changed mine. So that's something how I share my testimony. So we want to make sure we're talking about Jesus, not just what the enemy did. That's number one. Ben's mentioned it. Today, we're just going to go girls with girls, guys with guys, just talk to girls, just because we know our culture. So, like, think about the world we live in. If you're not a Christian and two girls walk up to a guy or vice versa, they're not going to think, oh, they're amazing. They're telling me about Jesus. You know, they think something else. So we want to represent Christ well as believers, right? And then something that I sometimes do, there's no really rule because it's just you follow the Holy Spirit. But sometimes I lay hands, sometimes I literally don't. Because the Holy Spirit moves if you're touching them or if you're not touching them, you know? And then sometimes when I pray, I don't even close my eyes. I just look at them. I'm like, God, would you just fill them? Would you fill them right now? And sometimes that's less weird for people because sometimes you're like, okay, let's pray. Then people are like, they don't know what to do. They've never been in church, you know? And then just be normal and friendly and kind and just joyful believers. And if you're feeling any pressure right now to like preach the gospel exactly perfectly right, don't. Because that's just sometimes like a religion that will make us feel like, oh, we have to do it perfectly. No, you're talking about your best friend. You are talking about the one you love. So don't let it steal your joy. Because there have been times where I preached the gospel and I forgot to talk about the cross. Or I forgot to talk about the Holy Spirit or something. But God still moves and they still meet Jesus. So it's going to be amazing and it's going to be fun. And literally sharing the gospel is the most incredible thing. And you will never want to stop sharing the gospel after today.
Thanks for listening to a Circuit Rider podcast. For our full library of podcasts and more information about the Circuit Riders, visit us at circuitriders.com. To access worship, messages, and training courses, visit us at circuitriders.tv. To get involved with the day-to-day of what we do or see what's happening across the globe, you can follow us at Circuit Riders on Instagram. And finally, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you next time.